Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
And welcome back to Roberta's Radio. We're here on heritageradionetwork.org as we are every single Tuesday night from 7 to 7:45, miraculously so. Last week we had a serious conversation about wine. The week before that we learned about the Thanksgiving history, the real history of Thanksgiving. And tonight, finally, we are lucky enough to have another segment of Falco Talk. So without further ado, Anthony Falco.
Falco.
Talk.
Thank you very much, Jack. Oh, man, it's really great to be back. It's been a while.
It has been a while, huh?
It's been a few shows.
How you doing?
I've been great. How was your Thanksgiving?
You know, it was much better having learned the real story.
Yeah. I have to go back to the archives
and do your homework.
Do a little
review. We're actually going to get the Christmas story from Chef Eric next week, too.
Oh, that's going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
I had a good time off for Thanksgiving. I went to Texas, ate a lot of tacos. It was fun.
What's the best place to get a taco in Texas?
Oof. I mean, I was just in Austin, so I can speak for that. And, I mean, dang, there's some good places. Torchy's has some really good tacos. They have a wide range of excellent tacos. We had also some great barbecue. Micklethwaite's. It's that cute little trailer on the east side. It was really great, you know? We'll get back in here. You know, we should talk more about the Texas food scene at some point.
Do a taco show.
Well, you know, because some big news, Roberta's Texas related news that could be coming up. We'll leave that for another show. I'm really excited today about this show that we have going on right now. I'm excited for our guest, and I'd like to introduce him without further ado, Mr. Kerry Black.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Good to see you again.
Always a pleasure.
Kerry is the co-founder of Superfly Productions. You may know them for their epic music festival, Bonnaroo, in Manchester, Tennessee, among many other things, which we're going to go into. But since this is Falco Talks, we're going to start with our first question, as we do all Falco Talks, with the question, what, and I know you're prepared.
It's a very important question.
I know you're prepared for this.
Indeed.
What is your favorite pizza?
Yes. Well, I definitely tend towards the classics since I grew up here. My top of the chart would be Totono's in Coney Island. There's just nothing like it.
That is correct. Yes, I got it right. Wow.
Yeah, this is our first. You did it.
I'm on a roll. I'm going to keep it going.
End the show. That's about it. Yeah. Awesome.
I mean, there's nothing like it just for even the whole trip going to Coney Island.
Cookie. You got to love Cookie.
Yep, Cookie's amazing.
She's a blast.
Boss you around a little bit. Yeah. Put you in your place.
Absolutely. They close at 8 p.m.
Yep.
A little unorthodox.
And they might run out of dough, but you got to just take a chance. Yeah. And one of my favorite parts, too, is, you know, they... the wine there isn't necessarily the best. It's like the little airplane bottles. So we always like mix it with Coke, do the Spanish thing.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
While we're eating our pizza, it's always a great little trip.
I love Totono's. That is absolutely probably. I mean, that's probably my favorite in New York. When you
Grandma
take in everything, you know what I'm saying? When you take everything in, is it is it the highest quality level of ingredients? I don't know. I mean, it's pretty high quality. It's not the lowest.
I think so.
Is the service and the atmosphere the best? I don't know.
But great in its own way.
But history, it's
the
classic.
The photos on the wall even are just
they're great.
Incredible.
And the thing that I really love is the topping, the topography, right? You have like splotches of cheese, splotches of sauce. You've got like little Parmesan that comes up, they scatter up too close to the crust.
It's like a choose your own adventure game.
Yeah. It's a pretty pizza too. If you've never been out to Coney Island for Totono's Pizza, guys, make the trip. It's a classic New York pizza.
Yeah, must do.
Yeah.
You know, from there I go probably to Farah's.
Okay.
You know, just a classic. I mean, just watching him work is a thing of beauty.
Yeah. I mean, I always say that
even if it takes 3 hours to get the pizza.
Yeah. And you know what, when I first went to DeFara's too, I was like, they're like, oh yeah, it takes like hours, you're gonna have to wait. And I was like, oh man, there's gonna be, and I was like, oh, this is cool, there's only like six people in line. But no, that you still have to wait hours. It's not because there's hundreds of people lined up. It's because it's not even that he's slow. It's he's
meticulous.
He's I'm not going to say demented, but I'm just say forgetful. Like, you know, he's like, he starts cutting some basil and then he's like, okay, well, oh, I'm going to put some oil on this. And then he's like, oh, goes back to the oven. And then like, you know, so his kid comes up and asks for some money. So he stops and gives him some money and
can't rush genius.
No, he's all over but you know, it's worth alone going for the spectacle of watching him.
No doubt.
Pull pizzas out with his bare hands.
Yep.
Human oven mitts.
And you know, I don't know if you know this, but they do now pizza parties. You can like basically, you know, get 2 hours and he just sits there and makes unlimited pies for you in that time.
We should do that.
Yeah. I've done it a couple of times already.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing. We should maybe set one up.
Yeah. You know, maybe after the holidays and stuff when it's like kind of dismal, chill, we need some pizza cheering up. I think we should definitely do that. DeFara's, Totono's. Ladies and gentlemen, these are some classic picks.
Good answers.
Yeah. Yeah, and my and then my favorite slice place is, of course, Joe's Pizza.
Oh, my God.
No, that's the trifecta.
Aced it!
Well, I mean, that one's a little...
We're going crazy in here.
My head is spinning.
I'm a little biased on that one since I grew up on two slices a day. I grew up about four
right
or five blocks
the corner
from where I grew up. So, and it was always funny back then. It was, you know, it was basically the war. You were either on the Joe's side or on John's.
Yeah,
like it was one way or the other.
Well, John's doesn't do slices either, right? Is
it
that John's?
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you know what else? Every once in a while, and I don't know if they still make the list, but they used to. I remember like probably like 10 years ago, they were always on the list was Bleecker Street Pizza.
Yeah.
Who did they pay off? Who are they blowing to get on the top 10 list?
Yeah. I was never that, sold on that one either, but
I think Joe's is absolutely, cause I mean, it's a combination of two things. The slice, the level of quality in slice pizza in New York is just plummeted. It's terrible.
Totally.
And then you have basically the dollar slice kind of have come in and picked off all the weak other slice places. So, I mean, there's really not too many left. And then, but even if there were, they are top of the class.
Yeah. And I think what makes it the best is that it is, you know, so popular. It's the freshness. It's like pretty much every time you go in there, it's fresh pie coming out. And that makes it so important. You know, a lot of these other places you go to and you're getting a reheated slice and it just changes the game completely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also helps that they have a cheese pie, a pepperoni pie. I don't even know if they have pepperoni pie. I think they put it on if you want.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And then they got Sicilian slices and that's it.
They do the fresh mozz too.
Oh, the fresh mozz pie. Yeah. I usually just go for one plain and one Sicilian.
Yeah.
And Coke.
I just go for two plain myself.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good killer. All right. Well, that's going to be hard to top there, ladies and gentlemen.
Man, what about like out of town pizza though?
Oh yeah, I mean you're a well traveled man.
Yeah.
Definitely a fan of why am I spacing on his name? He used to have the place here that Motorino took over.
That would be Anthony Mangieri.
Yes.
Yeah, Una Pizza Napolitana. He's now
exactly.
In San Francisco.
Indeed.
Yes.
I went there not too long ago. It was still
in San Francisco.
Still, yeah, yeah.
Oh, how
still
is it?
Still pretty epic.
He's a unique character in the world of pizza.
Yes, he's.
I mean, nobody is really doing it at the level of.
He is serious.
Singular passion as he is.
He is about as serious as it gets.
He hand mixes all his dough. And I don't know how many people here. I mean, and then like, you know, I don't know. He's only open for dinner. I mean, it's busy. So he's, I'm sure he's doing between 200, maybe 300 pizzas a night. But if you've ever tried to hand mix a batch of 200 pizza doughs, it sucks.
Yeah.
I have. It sucks. I would not want to do that every night.
No.
But it's
no thanks.
It's a dedication the guy has.
Indeed.
I have nothing but respect for him.
Yeah, no doubt.
From one pizza Anthony to another.
You know, this is not an out-of-town one, but I just went to a place this weekend that I thought was really good. Emily.
Oh, yeah. So that's Matt Hyland. He used to work here at Roberta's.
Cool.
Really nice guy. I just saw him recently.
I thought it was really solid. I got to go back and try it a few more times to see where it really lands on the echelon. But I thought it was really good. And although, surprisingly enough, you know, almost maybe even better than the pizza, their burger is sensational.
I've seen pictures of the burger. It looks freaking epic.
Yeah.
No, it's dry-aged, beefy. It looks really
good. It's really yummy.
He's a good cook. I've seen a lot of stuff on that menu, and it looks really good. And then we've had a guest on here before. We had Adam Kubin on, who does a pop-up there, Margo's Pizza.
Cool.
He does like a bar, Midwestern bar-style pizza there, super thin crust. It's like on the day that Emily is closed. So
nice.
That's cool. I like the whole vibe, too, with just the neon sign, Pizza Loves Emily.
Yeah. It's nice and simple.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. We'll have to have him on here soon. I want to take it back to, like, you know, how you got into Superfly, starting this company, this awesome company, who, just for the record, Roberta's, full disclosure here, people, we have worked with for years now, going on 3 years. Bonnaroo for 3 years. We did 2 years of Googa Mooga. And we're big fans. We see eye to eye at a lot of levels with Superfly, a very, very cool company. And it was in New Orleans that you started it.
Yeah, indeed. I was actually still in Tulane at the time and was basically just a music freak.
Yeah.
Which is basically what got me into it. One of my good friends started helping out a friend at Tipitina's, famous club down there.
Okay.
They needed someone with a car who could help put up posters and flyers.
Guy with a car.
To help get in, you know, to get into shows for free. And so that's kind of how I, you know, sort of the core got started. And then we wanted to leave in and do our own thing. So we found a warehouse space and we brought everything in and just kind of went for it. Did some shows, Take Funk to Heaven, Mardi Gras 97.
Sweet.
Where we had Maceo Parker, George Porter, Galactic, Funky Meters.
Wow.
We got really lucky. It became kind of like the thing to do at Tulane and did really well, made a little bit of money and just kind of kept it rolling. And really, you know, I think our bread and butter has always been sort of doing things around the big times of year and making sort of a bigger production out of things, not just being, you know, normal promoters trying to really always make things, you know,
yeah,
interesting, I mean, and creative and bigger than just, you know, putting bands on a stage. So
yeah, I mean, it's a combination of the booking you guys do is always kind of, I mean, at this point, you know, you guys are booking world-class acts. But there's a vibe, you know, that's the other half of it, right?
Yeah, I think it just comes from our passion about it. We're all, you know, just such music geeks, and it comes out when you see our stuff, you know, and that's turned into, you know, being really into food and drink and art and all these other things. And, you know, it's like this, we think of the festivals as like huge art projects, and that's, you know, what we love is like every year just trying to tweak them, make them better and have new things, keep them interesting. You know, for us, it's like, we couldn't just do the same things every year. We, even just for our own sanity, we don't love to just be creative and work with cool people. So every year we're just trying to make them better and better.
How did you get to now? This is something I've always kind of been curious about, and I don't know. So I'm asking you because I don't know. You're from New York City.
Indeed.
You went to school in New Orleans and then Manchester, Tennessee, because not exactly a hot spot of culture or music or anything.
Well, now it is.
Well, now, yes, of course. But before you made it that way, how did that come into the picture? And how did the first Bonnaroo come together?
Yeah. So when we were, you know, had decided we were, you know, kind of trying to do a festival, we, you know, looked at the landscape at the time. There was Coachella on the West Coast. There was a few festivals on the East Coast, but there was nothing really in the middle, nothing big anyway in the middle of the country.
When was this?
This was 2002. Was when we did our first year at Bonnaroo. So we were probably, when we were looking, you know, 2001, probably.
Yeah.
You know, we really wanted to do a camping festival. We were really inspired by a lot of the festivals in Europe. You know, we thought that the middle of the country was great because if we're doing a camping festival, you want you know, there's just so many people. People can drive from all over the country.
Like, what are some of the big camping festivals in Europe?
You know, Glastonbury is kind of the granddaddy.
Yeah. That's the one where everybody's wearing the big mud boots, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. And it's really an incredible experience. You should go check it out. I mean, it's granddaddy for a reason. It's so interesting the way they do it. You know, Americans, you can't separate from their cars, but there, you know, it's all the parking's outside and all the camping is kind of interspersed throughout the ground. So you could be like camping next to the main stage or by some
wild,
you know, freaky hippie making coffee or whatever. You know, it's just all kinds of crazy stuff going on out there.
Huh.
You know, there's Roskilde is another great one.
Okay.
In Denmark.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, there's tons. I mean, there's, God, I was this summer I was in, London, and I was hearing that there's over 400 festivals in England alone every summer.
Holy shit. Well, I mean, you know, a place like that, you've got to kind of get it while you can when it's summer.
Yep. Indeed.
You know, the weather maybe breaks for a little bit and, you know, it's the time to do it.
No doubt.
So that
middle of the country area is where we just liked that it was, you know, so approachable from so many different places in the country. And, you know, we're looking at things all over, you know, Georgia, Louisiana, obviously Tennessee, Georgia. We looked at a bunch of different spaces. And, you know, while we were looking at, I think, one in Atlanta, someone there was just like, hey, you guys should check out this place in, you know, in Manchester, Tennessee, because there actually was another festival on this farm, on this property, a couple years before Bonnaroo.
Okay.
Called Ichiku.
Ichiku. All right. How
didn't last.
No.
Past the first year.
Catchy name, but you know, sometimes it takes more than the name.
Unfortunately, it did not last. But I'm glad it happened because, you know, without it, we probably wouldn't have never found the site. And, you know, as soon as we went there, it just kind of felt right. It's right. You know, one of the beauties is that it's right on I-24. Mm-hmm. We literally have we created an exit off of I-24, which we opened during the festival. So cars like literally come right on the property, which is really awesome.
It's impressive. For me, I had never been to Bonnaroo before. I went there to create a temporary wood-fired pizza restaurant in the middle of a field. So I was really focused.
Hope you like a challenge.
I was just focused on doing that. And so, you know, I really didn't even check it out until the third day. I didn't even walk away from my little sphere that I was in. But it blew my mind, the scope of it, of just like how huge it is. And it is really in a beautiful part of the country. Like that part of Tennessee is gorgeous. And it's on a, you know, the wonderful property. You got some great old trees and stuff. I mean, it was really cool. But I mean, to me, though, the thing that just blew me away was it's like a city.
Yeah, no doubt. We're creating a city for 80,000 people for the weekend. You know, it's intense. You know, it's much different from the summer the city festivals. I mean, having to take care of people 24/7, have bathrooms and anything they need, medical for that whole time. You know, it's definitely intense. We have an amazing team that most of the, you know, our main department heads have been with us since year one, and we have like this incredible team who are you know the best in the business. And,
That was definitely one of the other things that immediately struck me was when I was there, and I was like, I needed something to happen, and I was asking someone who was in operations, and I was like, well, can we do this? I need, like, can we pull power from here? We had it over there. And they were like, we can do anything. Like, it's whether we want to do it or not, but we can do anything. There's a, you know, I mean, you guys have like a whole carpentry shop. You have welders. You have everything.
Yeah.
Heavy equipment, earth moving equipment. I mean,
it's amazing. And yeah, they sometimes hate me because I come up with all sorts of really ridiculous ideas, and they need to make them, and then they make them happen, which is really incredible. But you know,
hey, dude, that's your job. That's a cool thing to do. So, what year? This is Bonnaroo 2015 coming up. Which year is this?
So we're going to year 14.
Whew.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
What was year one even like?
It was a whirlwind. Definitely lucky you got through that one with no major incidents. it was wild. I mean, just running around like our chickens with our heads cut off. You know, I mean, you know, it was amazing, though. The vibe that first year was incredible. Like, even though, you know, we were, you know, figuring out stuff on the fly to a certain extent, You know, all the fans who were there were so happy to be there and like just so cool about everything that it just made it, it made it really easy. Obviously we have, you know, we put together a great team too that, that, realized our vision because we certainly didn't know how to do it. yeah, it was just really special. And then I'll never forget that first night, you know, looking out at 70,000 people.
So, I mean, it was that big from the beginning.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, that first year, you know, I think we were hoping to do, you know, 20,000 or something like that. We sold out 70,000 tickets in about 19 days, and we're just completely blown away. Luckily, it sold out that quickly, so we actually had, you know, some time to get it figured out.
Yeah, you're like, okay, we can actually maybe buy some of this stuff now.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Well, congratulations. I mean, it's a global event. I mean, like I said, I was really just kind of blown away. It was like a giant city where, like, the mayor is, like, also the richest man in town, and he got his money from starting the local acid factory. It was kind of the vibe that I got from it, but, you know, maybe that's just me. I don't know. But so, Roberta's, we've been there for, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but we've been there for 3 years. First year we had wood-fired oven, we were making wood-fired pizza. We were making fresh mozzarella every day.
Crazy.
In a hotel down the street. It was fucking insane, dude. Like, I would get up, I slept for like 2 hours a night in a tent, and then would go back to this commissary kitchen and make dough. I mean, I had an incredible team of people with me who were all on a lot of drugs.
I got great interviews from that year.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Would you have any of those clips?
Somewhere. I don't know if we can play them to the public.
There's one guy we had who's not the same since then. I'm going to shout him out. Ben Tanzel out there, everyone.
I think I saw that happen.
He's an iconic... Ben Tanzel's an iconic member of the Roberta's team. He's one of the best pizza guys we have, but he... He's never been the same. He's like that Lance character in Apocalypse Now, you know? He's got, like, the puppy.
Nice.
That's how he came out of the back end of a Bonnaroo. But then after that, we did the... You guys gave us the barn.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
Man, it's been an amazing collaboration. I love seeing how that's grown. Like, it's really become, you know, one of the iconic, you know, fixtures at the festival. I feel like people... are just blown away by it every year. It's something really special, and it's just been a great collaboration.
I mean, it was fun. That first year was...
Oh, man.
I think it was fun. I'm pretty sure. Jack was like... I mean, Jack, we've got here our producer, Jack.
Full service.
Yeah, I have to do one of those.
I mean, like, what was your experience? Like, Jack is, like, instrumental to the barn.
I mean, just to add, like, a little anecdote, like, we had no idea what to expect because it all came together kind of late, you know, and then you approached me, Falco, and you're like, we're going to do this, man. Bring full service, you know? So I tell the guys, I'm like, you know, I don't really know what to expect. It was the Fuse barn. We're turning it into a Christmas club barn, so be ready for anything. It was packed. Like,
oh, man.
Crazy. I mean, we went the first night, I think, till 7,
Seven,
maybe?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was funny because it was the first day, because it was the Fuse. I don't know. If you've never been to Bonnaroo before, there's, like, you know, it's huge, multi-acre farm, and there's all kinds of different... stages, and they give them these really confusing names so that you have no idea where you're
yes,
going or what's
the
happening.
Best part.
And in the middle of it, they call it Cineroo. It's like the downtown of Bonnaroo, and there's this barn. It's like this giant, awesome barn. And before that, before we took it over, it was the Fused barn, and it was basically a place where you could go and charge your cell phone. So the first day of us trying to throw this epic party, we had like some of the best DJs from New York. We had these artists from all over Brooklyn who had spent, you know, days decorating it. And then the Bonnaroo team had come together and made this incredible light, Christmas light.
Unreal.
And so we had done all this work. I mean, really just all these artists had come together to create this unique, weird thing. And everyone just comes up and they want to charge their cell phone. So we were like, man, what did we do? This is going to be weird. But
they got over that quick, though, once they
got
in there, I think.
Once people started kind of like, because, you know, I mean, it is like every other part of Bonnaroo. It's like it's a stage and the act goes on and then they play for 30 minutes or an hour and a half sometimes. And then they're done. And this was just I mean, it was just like a club. Like
yeah, we would DJ from like 2 p.m. to 7 a.m. basically nonstop. And most of us prepared music for like, you know, the chill cell phone charging area. So when we saw the crowds, we were like, oh, shit, oh, this is going to be a rave. All right, let's go.
Oh, man. It was, I mean, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's one of the things that actually kind of makes Bonnaroo really special is the fact that we can, you know, basically go all night. Yeah. You know, most festivals, you know, you got to leave it by 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. or whatever it is. And that's one of the things that, you know, is really special out there is the late night hang is kind of unparalleled.
We took the Bonnaroo late night, I think, to a different level at the Christmas barn. I remember last year I was there at the sun was up and I was, you know, because my job there is a little kind of sometimes it's a little boring. I mean, I'm really just kind of like making sure everything's happening without incident, that like, you know, all the DJs have, you know, some cold beer in their green room and that the, you know, sound is working and secure. You know, I'm just kind of like, just like managing, you know, I'm just kind of like doing really boring stuff. But so it's the end of the night and I'm just kind of like, okay, guys, let's wrap this up. And it's 7 a.m. and Hannibal Buress is in there. And nice. We are watching, you know, some people he was relatively sober. I don't know if he had like, you know, done a set or something recently.
Yeah, he probably had.
Yeah, I was totally sober and we were just kind of like, hey, man, what's up? I saw you at the announcement thing. Your act was really great. And we were just talking. And then, I mean, everyone else was just like, they needed to go to bed.
I have to just shout out from the full service crew, Spliffington Falco, who, you know,
oh, yes,
put in some marathon sets.
Dude, I mean, that guy, you know, I mean, like, I don't know if there is there like a subsect of DJing that's like marathon DJing? Is that
like he's going to start it.
We should start a marathon of some sort.
I mean, there's got to be a record, you know, because like DJing is like, I think in the musical world is unique in that it's almost like kind of like an extreme sport. Like there's like they have rankings. Like there's no like rock and roll band rankings. Like, oh, they're the number one rock and roll band this year. You know, like DJs are ranked, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and they have like, I'm pretty sure like Tiesto played for 24 hours straight or something in Las Vegas or something. I think that this is marathon DJing. This is something that, you know, we should.
Competitive sport. I like it.
Competitive sport. We'll try it out. Bonnaroo 2015 Christmas Barn marathon DJing. I'm really excited. We're going to be, I think we're coming back, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, cool. Hey, all right, Jack, good job. we're coming back. We're working on some really awesome stuff. I mean, it's just one of those weird Roberta's things that, you know, makes us weird and awesome as our fearless leader, Brandon Hoy, said at the start of the show, makes us awesome.
That's right.
I'm a little jealous that you have a theme song.
This is pretty
cool.
It was pretty good, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to think of what would my theme song be.
We should have you come back. I mean, I mean, this is early in the show to already ask you to come back. You should come back and do like a Carrie Black segment and talk about music, like, you know, and we could get you a theme song.
Cool.
I think we could make that happen.
I was kind of thinking Sweet Head by David Bowie, if you ever heard that song.
You'd have to get on the phone with Bowie and get the rights for us.
Totally. Right.
Okay, I think that he might actually be able to make that happen now, which is weird.
I wish.
Do you got any kind of secret information for us for Bonnaroo 2015? No, right?
We're hard at work on the lineup. It's actually almost complete. So, you know, the announcement is coming soon. So we're really excited, though. I'm definitely excited to work on the barn. You know, we're, of course, always trying to tweak things and make things better. I don't know. You know, we're looking to have building out a whole courtyard there.
Yes.
Possibly having bands this year. I was thinking maybe getting a couple of New Orleans bands to fit.
Awesome.
You know, the Snake and Jake's Christmas Club barn theme, which is, you know, a name we took from our favorite bar in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So we always love to kind of tie that New Orleans theme in as much as possible.
There were some great ones last year.
Yeah. We did the brass bands.
DJ Quickie Mart.
Yep.
He was great, man.
Amazing.
And his dancers. Wow.
Yeah.
They were working their asses off. I mean, literally, their asses almost fell off. They were shaking them, so it was amazing.
Yeah, now, you know, I'm psyched to do more of those parties, you know. I thought the Robe Rage was a great success and super fun, and want to do more costume parties and things of that nature. I think will be fun. That's one thing we're kind of like, you know, making more of a concerted effort these days is to try and do stuff that's a little bit more sort of one-on-one or surprise and delight, you know, rather than like, you know, we have a lot of places where 50,000 people can see a show together, but, you know, sometimes those one-on-one moments can be even more special. You know, we've started last year with bringing out a bunch of, you know, theater people to kind of do some surprise little vignettes throughout the festival and things of that nature. So, you know, really trying to just, you know, find cool new
ways
to express.
It's a perfect venue for that kind of thing.
Yep.
So, I mean, we're excited to be involved and to continue to push the limits.
And one day we're going to figure out how to make it snow in there.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I just saw this giant snow globe over on, like, Berry Street, and it was, like, I was, like, literally, I saw that it was, like, a giant snow globe. There's, like, snow inside. Like, why can't there be a DJ inside there, you know?
It's brilliant.
We should do it.
Definitely.
I mean, we've got the technology.
Indeed.
Let's make it happen.
Awesome. So why don't we take a really quick break, and then I think Kerry might give us some of his favorite music from the past year, no?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sweet.
How's that sound? All right, cool. Well, you guys are listening to Full Service Radio. See, now you got me thinking like Full Service. It's Roberta's Radio.
Roberta's! And,
if it's your first time tuning in, we're live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. You can subscribe on iTunes. It makes your life very easy. It gets delivered to you for free every week. So we'll listen to a little bit of Rectech, and we'll come right back. This is Roberta's Radio. And just for good measure, I think we should roll the Falco Talk intro one more time. Falco.
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 Talk. It's all about that bomb.
It's a double dose of Falco Talk here today, ladies and gentlemen. I've been a while for, we've been away for a while, so, you know, you gotta just, it's just me and Kerry are back here. And we are going to continue to talk. We'll talk about some music. Kerry is a deeply knowledgeable music fanatic. Music fanatic, right? Self-described.
Pretty much.
And unfortunately, since this is radio, you guys can't see, but we both have some seriously epic hair going on.
That's
here.
True. That's very true.
And it's about the same length, I'd say. I mean, yours might be a little bit longer. I don't know. Mine's curly.
How long have you been going?
Let's see. How long have I been married? 5 years? 5 years? I think 5 years I've been going. I've had a couple trims, but five years.
I've never cut it in 6 years.
Whoa. Yeah. Wow. That's my dad has not cut his hair in 7 years. It's longer than that, though. But he's He's in prison. There's something about the air there that just makes the hair grow faster. It's like you're all that time concentrated. So, yeah, when he gets out, maybe we'll all get haircuts. I don't know. Well, I'll let you know. I'll send you the memo. Let's talk about some acts from last year. I mean, you know, what's coming up on? I mean, for me, I'm a dad. I'm a busy man. First of all, at Roberta's, they keep me busy here. And then, you know, I'm a dad. I don't get out to the shows as much as I used to anymore. What should I be listening to?
Well, you know, from this year, some of my favorites, probably the album I listened to most this year was the Todd Terje record. It's like electronic disco-y, but also kind of like 70s fusion. Okay. It's really, really unique, interesting, fun record.
Fun.
You know, a bunch of my favorites were not necessarily like very well known ones. Christopher Denny put out an incredible record.
Okay.
Have you ever heard him before? Yeah. If the Roses Don't Kill Us, it's amazing. And then this band from LA called Deluxe.
Okay.
Really cool, sort of Talking Heads, kind of like more modern Chromeo influence. Sort of stuff. It's really, really cool. You should check it out.
Cool. Did you see them in these guys? Did these act come through New York?
They, of course, played here when I was in L.A. Oh, okay. So no, I haven't gotten to see them yet, but I love the record. You know, my favorite, we, of course, have to talk about some metal.
Yes, absolutely.
My favorite metal record of the year is the new Revocation record.
Okay.
I don't know if you know those guys, but they are just technical. It's incredible.
Is it like a more of a speed metal category, you would say?
Yeah, it's pretty fast.
Awesome.
It's incredible stuff, though. The new At the Gates record.
Okay.
It's also stellar. You know, from there, going back into just the general ones, the Jungle record.
Okay.
I love Strand of Oaks, another one that I listened to a ton this year.
How much of your day is dedicated to just like listening to new music?
Yeah, I was gonna ask.
I do it pretty much constantly. I mean, I work to music. Some people can't do that, but like I will literally at least, you know, 5 or 6 hours a day will just have music on. So I'm pretty much continuously doing it. Like
headphones or speakers?
Speakers in my office, yeah. And then, you know, on the way to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, anytime I'm going out on the Wolf train, I mean, I'm always, pretty much always doing it.
Making pizza to music is really a fun thing to do. And I just remember when we were opening the new takeout and delivery spot, I was constantly like, you know, I was coming in and I was like, man, where were you then? I was like, I really just needed albums to listen, because I like to, one of the things about it, Roberta's in the restaurant is we can never really play albums,
right?
You know, because it's a sit-down restaurant, so you come in, you know, someone sits down, maybe they fucking hate that album, you know? They don't like your speed metal.
They want to be stuck with it.
Yeah, so they order, and they're sitting there, they have to sit through the whole album. But that was exciting about opening the takeout and delivery spot, was you can play album rock. And we do play a lot of album rock there, because, you know, the name of what we want you to do is in the restaurant. Like, take it away.
Go away.
Like, you know, like,
go.
Come get your pizza. It's hot, it's delicious, now go away. And we're going to continue listening. If you want to hang out and listen to the album, that's cool. We're not going to kick you out.
Nice.
But there's no seats.
Well, one record to mention that just dropped is the D'Angelo record.
You heard it?
Oh, man, it's really good.
Now, I've just seen some promotional material for it. It's very intense.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool.
The Beyonce sneak attack.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's
exciting.
Yeah.
That's crazy. The first time, I think it was year one of Roberta's at Bonnaroo, is when you guys had D'Angelo his first public appearance in, I don't know how
10
long.
10 years, yeah.
The Super Jam thing he did.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I was freaking out when
Tell
I got to see that.
Tell me about these Super Jams. You know, I mean, this is something I've, unfortunately, the 3 years that I was at Bonnaroo, I never got a chance to go to the Super Jam.
Yeah, it's definitely like one of the iconic pieces of Bonnaroo. Where we, you know, put together a bunch of people who never played together before from different bands, you know, do something new and interesting. We started it actually at when we were, you know, at Superfly back before Bonnaroo even. We started them in, I think, 98.
Wow.
It was actually one of the ways we kind of started getting our first sort of national recognition as a company was through the Super Jams. We did one in particular that was really big in, I think it was 2001, 2000, 2001. It was Trey Anastasio from Phish, Les Claypool from Primus, and Stuart Copeland from The Police.
Oh, wow.
And they were so excited about it that they actually named it.
Isn't that a... Didn't
they named it Oysterhead. And
so you're responsible for Oysterhead?
Pretty much.
Amazing.
Yeah, so they ended up naming the band. They did tours afterwards, an album. Was really, yeah, it was awesome. It was incredible to watch.
Has that... Now, how is this... How involved are you in the curating process? I mean, because there's got to be some times when you guys are, you know, throwing up some names on a board and then you contact them and they're like, I fucking hate that guy. Like, no, I would never do that. Or is it or generally you get it right and you know ahead of time and they're always into the super jam that you have an idea for? Or how does that
work? Well, we always got to throw it out to a lot of people. It's always it's an undertaking and a half. It's you know, Paul Peck has been doing the super jams for us for years and has done an amazing job, and he's got a talent for it, of being able to corral everyone and, you know, get horn charts together, do the whole thing, make sure everyone's, you know, getting together and choosing the songs, and, you know, there's a whole thing. But you know, we've gotten obviously at this point pretty good at getting that rolled out.
How did D'Angelo happen though? That one seemed like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that was Questlove.
Okay.
Yeah, we were working with him on the super jam. He was like, man, I got this idea. I think I might be able to get D'Angelo to come out. We're like, yes.
Wow.
You do that.
I mean, so this is now some, it's taken on a life of its own that you must be approached by artists with ideas for these now, like that.
Yeah, you know, it's mostly still us coming to certain people. We'll usually, you know, sit and brainstorm on a bunch of ideas of sort of themes, general themes, and or just, you know, we usually start with like a central person. Like, you know, mm-hmm. 1 year was Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys.
Yeah.
And then we had him, you know, put him together with Dr. John. You know, and then filled out the rest. So a lot of times, you know, we'll start with someone, an anchor person, who will then, you know, give their input on how, you know, what they'd like to do, what they'd like to see, and we kind of just sort of start building it out from there.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's high on my list for this year, is to make it to the Super Jam.
Yeah, you definitely need to do that.
Well, so what is what's your all-time favorite Super Jam that you just, you know?
All-time favorite Super Jam, that's tough. I would have to say... you know, the one a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, I believe it was, where we had R. Kelly and Billy Idol, you know, among other things, was probably one of the best we've ever done. It was pretty incredible.
People were, I remember I was there when, because R. Kelly played like main stage or something.
Yeah,
right?
It was second stage, but
second stage. And I remember people coming back from R. Kelly's show and they were just like, dude, that guy just fucking.
There were dubs, I think.
He like came in from the he was like on top of the main of the stage and like got lowered down.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing.
I mean, there's so much. You really got to do your homework before you arrived to Bonnaroo, because there is so much to see that if you gotta have your game plan, because there's some walking involved. But I mean, the way you guys, that's like got to be a whole separate art form too, because you do have stuff all happening at the same time.
Yeah,
so you don't want to make people too conflicted. So you got to know, well, like maybe all the people who want to go see R. Kelly aren't going to want to go see artist B.
We definitely always look at the schedule and try and put the, you know, artists in positions where they're not going up against people who are in, you know, too similar. I mean, obviously it still happens sometimes. It's just kind of inevitable, but you know, that's kind of half the fun too, is like you can't see everything. It's impossible, but that's why you can keep coming back year after year and see different stuff and have different experiences. And that's actually what I think is some of the, you know, best parts of festivals like that, is discovering stuff. You know, you stumble into a show you never would have, you know, seen otherwise, and find something new that you love. So
last year you had I mean, it was a pretty big year for your headlining artist there, with Kanye West coming back. Well, Paul McCartney, you know, obviously.
Doesn't get much bigger than that.
No, he doesn't get much bigger than that. That's pretty big. But the Kanye West performance is more what I was thinking about there. That was a big one for you guys to bring him back.
Yeah, it was definitely a little polarizing, you know.
Yeah.
It was definitely a unique situation when he first played. But, you know, he's one of the greatest performers of our time. I mean, he's, you know, and artist of our time, really. I mean, the music he makes is unbelievable, and the shows he puts on are unbelievable, and that's, you know, really, you know, we love a good redemption story, and, like, you know, we wanted him to come back and know he's welcome, and just to, you know, do more great artists.
I mean, I had never seen him before, and I had a chance to see him that first half of his set, and it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, and actually, that first time he played, that was one of the a lot of my friends. It's one of their favorite moments of Bonnaroo history, because you know Kanye West played so late that he ended up the sun came up.
Yeah,
and so all my friends were like, you know, basking in the sun, watching Kanye West at 6 or 7 a.m. or whatever it was.
During the glow in the dark tour, too.
During the glow in the dark tour. Yeah, nice. Pretty amazing.
That's pretty fun.
But, you know, all my friends think it was like one of the best moments ever. So
cool. Yeah, that's it was pretty amazing. And I got the t-shirt, too, which is really what I just wanted, the t-shirt. so that I could wear it. Because people, I wear it all the time. And then people are like, oh, did you see him? And I'm like, well, come on. I'm not going to wear a guy's tour shirt and not have gone and seen him on the tour. Yes, that's the whole reason I went to see him, so I could wear this t-shirt.
Totally.
I'm sure it's impossible, but can you pinpoint a favorite set over all these years?
This was actually sort of a super jam, too. But probably my favorite show was we did Daryl Hall and Chromeo together, which was really, really special. So it was basically like classic Hall & Oates songs with the Chromeo-infused, you know,
weirdness.
Yes, it was absolutely
that's awesome.
Amazing.
That reminds me of the Googa Mooga. Was at Hall & Oates was the,
oh, yeah,
the headliner. Because I remember when we first, that was a crazy, the first year of Googa Mooga was a crazy year for me. It was, we basically were just like saying yes to everything. So we were doing all kinds of stuff. We had done, you know, the Freeze Art Fair for the first time. We did more pop-ups than we'd ever done. So we were all over the place, and on my calendar was Googa Mooga. And I was like, oh, it's this thing at Googa Mooga. I don't know what it is. It's got a great name, but I don't know what it is. And I was a huge fan for the 2 years you guys did it. But then it was coming closer, and they were like, Hall & Oates is going to be the headlining act. I was like, what?
We were really psyched to get them. I mean, it's just, and they're still great. And
it was awesome.
I mean,
and it was like
getting more classic than that.
The sun was like going down. It wasn't dark by any means. I mean, it's pretty much an entirely daytime festival.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, it was just like families and like people
had massive sing along.
Yeah, everyone had eaten and they were just laying on the grass, and it was awesome. I was a huge. Do you guys ever have any plans to bring something like that back again or revive the Googa Mooga concept anywhere?
Yeah, definitely. We're working on it. We're you know, trying to find the right place and kind of tweak things, but we're definitely looking to bring something back on those same level.
Because I mean, as a concept, you guys were definitely ahead of your time. I mean, this is something that all the music festivals are doing now. I mean, when I was first started going to festivals, you know, like Lollapalooza or whatever, you know, in high school. You know, you go and there's just like the French fry stand and the shitty pizza slice place. And, you know, I mean, it was like just like treating these people like cattle. Like, I mean, it was just like the most, I mean, respect. It's hard work to make food for that many people on the road.
Yep.
To all those people who do it. But you guys have been pioneers in this kind of like upping the level of like the food, because it's a demand now from the festival goers.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're seeing that across all the events that we do. You know, there has to be, you know, much higher level food. People expect that. And, you know, we're really excited to continue, you know, doing more stuff in that world. You know, we're, like I was saying before, we're passionate about food and drink. And so, you know, something we want to, you know, continue to do and, you know, be creative in and try and do some unique new stuff.
I got it. I have an idea for you. Well, actually, it's an idea that we've actually done a little bit before, but I'm gonna keep putting this one out here until we do it big time. Is the Urban Renaissance Fair?
Yeah, again. I love it.
Oh yeah,
we did it briefly at Googa Mooga year two, and the weather was not very good, and it was gonna be the next day was gonna be great, but the weather got worse. But man, dude, we could do it. It's like great.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Medieval food, a falconer, you know, like we had
mead.
Yeah, we had people in full suits of armor dancing to full service tiki disco. Full suit of armor, full service. Jack, are we together on this one?
This is a no-brainer. I mean, yeah,
right. Magic.
We already have the formula. It's ready to go.
Cloaks. I mean, you know. With the Game of Thrones phenomenon that's sweeping the nation, people are waiting for this kind of thing to happen.
They're clamoring for it.
Vikings. All right.
Love it.
Well, I'm not going to cut my hair until we do it again. I hope you don't either. And I think let's do some brainstorming. We'll get this Urban Renaissance Fair back on the books.
Yes.
Some turkey legs and mead. 2015.
It's on.
2016 at the latest, goddammit.
Oh, man. Kerry, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. It was great.
Yeah, that best bet. All right, I'm going to go ahead and say best guest ever.
Yep.
I mean, because
I nailed the pizza.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, the rest of the stuff was really awesome and fascinating, but you aced the pizza quiz. No one will, and no one can just copy that now. So they have to come up with something else, but they can't because there's no other better answer. So you won.
Nice.
Thanks.
Great minds think alike.
And thanks, everybody, for listening.
And Jack from the past thanks you for having Tom Morello play with Tool.
Oh, yeah. That was a
day.
Special moment for sure.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
That's so brilliant.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. We did Rage Against the Machine at a festival we did in Vegas called Vegas. Actually, that was one of our coolest lineups we ever did. We had Daft Punk with the Pyramid Tour headliner one night, and then the next night was Rage Against the Machine. It was absolutely...
Oh, my God. Crazy. You have a fun job. I thought I had a fun job.
Yeah, really.
You're living the dream, bro. That's awesome. Vegas. Awesome.
Well, we'll see you guys at Bonnaroo, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. Get your early tickets, Roberta's Heritage Radio listeners.
Yeah, and if you don't already follow the Bonnaroo Instagram, go ahead and sign up for that because they have cool stuff that's information.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't already follow the Roberta's Instagram, at Roberta's Pizza, do it now. You could be our 10,000th follower right this second.
What do they get?
Well, there's going to be a holiday awesome giveaway soon. So.
Can we have the 10,000th follower on Roberta's Radio?
Yes.
Yeah, just contact us.
Direct message me. I'm Millennium at Millennium _ Falco, 2 L's, 2 N's.
Yeah, we'll make that happen.
Direct message me.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. And next week on Roberta's Radio, like I said, the history of Christmas with Chef Eric and Zorm. So you definitely don't want to miss that.
It's going to be a good one.
Roberta's Radio is live every Tuesday at 7. Subscribe on iTunes, heritageradionetwork.org. We will see you guys next week. Thanks, everyone.